Welcome, everybody, to Lore and Poor. Everybody, we've got another... I say this every single time. I say it every gosh dang episode that we've got a special episode. We really do this time. We've got a Fire Genasi. We've never had one before, mostly because the studio is not insured against fire. So this is a very, very risky liability we're taking, everybody. So please just go to Patreon real quick and just drop a couple dollars because this place is about to get burned down. No, we've got Flair, the Fire Genasi Artificer, with us today. Flair, thank you so much for joining us in the studio today.
Hi, Adam. Thanks so much for having me. This is really cool. I'm really... Yeah, this place looks pretty flammable. I'm sorry.
No, don't. No. Hey, eyes over here, Flair. Flair, don't be looking at the woodwork doors, the framing. Don't be looking at any of that. We'll just have a nice, fast conversation. Just really get you out of here as fast as we can. Anyway, Flair, of course, you know, you're an expert on the show. You're a longtime listener, first time caller. We have to start every night with, what are we drinking tonight, Flair?
Okay, so I mostly specialize in alchemy, so I combine a whole bunch of different kinds of alchemical combinations. So what I'm drinking is something that can't really be replicated at home, but the closest thing, the closest combination is a dark and stormy. So you have your ginger flavor and your lime tartness and then that nice deep rum to bring it all together.
Flair, look at me. Is it flammable? Flair, be honest.
No.
Flair, I'm not kidding. Everybody needs to go to that Patreon, please. And just, this is going to be a shit storm, pardon my language. I know I try not to cuss on this show, but I'm just kidding, Flair. You can cuss as much as you want. I of course, have been drinking I think the last 1 to 2 episodes, I kind of strayed from the Dirty Dews. Mostly because I think I was out of Diet Mountain Dew. It's been a while since I recorded one of these. But we are back in full form, and I'm on number 4 Dirty Dew. And so it's going to be a wild night. Did just record a different stream before this, so we will see where this takes us, Flair.
This should be a lot of fun. And you have to give me the recipe for your Dirty Dew, because that smells really good.
It is probably much easier. You could probably sneeze and make one of these things.
Honestly, no, I mean, with some of the stuff in my workbench, probably.
It kind of looks. I can't even look at this. It is green. It's green now. And I always said that, and now I'm picturing it. I don't know if I'm going to finish.
You have to finish it. It's alcohol abuse. Otherwise,
yeah. That's in the spirit of the show. I will finish this. Booger drink, I guess. Flair, we always, before we get into the questions, I just really like to let the guest loose and just let them go as high level, as low level as they want. You can go start to finish of your knowledge of the history of Modrons. However much information you want, the floor is yours, no time constraints. We should probably start. I don't think we mentioned why you're a leading expert in the field of Modrons. If you want to explain that before you take away and go off on the history of these little shiny dudes.
Sure. So as I mentioned, I'm an artificer. So the way that I connect with the weave and the world around me is through creations and mechanical things. So I primarily specialize in alchemy. So I mix different kinds of reagents to create my spells and throw them with a sling at people. Grease, great against giants. Pro tip. But the Modrons fascinate me and have fascinated me since I was just a wee little fire sprite. And because they're these creatures of organic and mechanical matter put together into this living hive mind. And I've been fascinated with them forever. Excuse me, I've had a couple of my drinks.
I can smell it from here. Like I'm gonna harken back to it. It does smell highly, highly flammable.
Well, it just smells. It's tempered a little bit by the ginger, but you can have a sip if you want. It's quite tasty.
I think I will die. I don't think you a non-fire genasi could take a sip of that and not you burn might. Up from the inside.
Sorry. But yeah, so Modrons are absolutely fascinating to me because as someone... So I'm not a sorcerer. I wasn't born with my abilities. I'm not a bard. I don't do magic flute, all that bullshit. What I do is I use my brain and marry magic. I create magic by bringing my intelligence to the way that I build things. So the Modrons are fascinating to me because they are an entire race of living beings, constructs that are made of mechanical and organic material. So I've been studying them for ages. That's why I'm an expert on them.
Okay, okay. Yeah, and then just, I mean, I don't know a lot about Modrons. I don't know how these little guys got started. I don't know really what they're up to nowadays. So if you want to just kind of walk me through it.
So let me start pretty high level, I think. I think the best place to start is, you know about all the different planes of existence, right, Adam?
Yes, yes.
Okay, there's okay, okay.
There's more than four.
There's a lot more than four, but okay, we can...
Okay, well, yeah.
On the outer planes of existence is Mechanus. This is... If you can imagine a world like Toril that is made of gears, where the continent, if you were like an ant put inside of a clock, that is what Mechanus would look like to you. The each cog is the size of a continent. It's enormous, spinning around in these long, enormous cycles. And through all of this, the Modrons keep everything running. Now, this is the plane of existence run by Primus, who is the god of the mechanical and the god of order. They don't care about good. They don't care about evil. It's order and law and everything that you can write down and mechanize, really mechanize. Adam, your world has that... it's a television show, Star Trek?
Yes, there's a couple that start with Star Trek, Star Wars. People hate if you get them mixed up, so we need to nail down which one we're talking about before I get hate mail.
So, Mechanus is run by this enormous hive mind of mechanical and organic beings. I think you have something similar in your Star Trek, the Borg?
Yes, yes.
It's very similar to that, and at the top of all of it is the god Primus. He is the one, who knows? This is the god that is the creator of all of the Modrons. And they are the ones that keep this plane of existence really constantly cycling through all of its cycles, one day after another day. I mean, we have to use our low-level Toril based knowledge in order to even understand it, because I mean, I don't know about you, but I'm much more chaos than law.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely.
I mean, setting things on fire, definitely chaotic.
Yeah, just eyes appear. Don't look at my cactus flare. That took me 6 years to grow that. My producers are already trying to get me to get it out of the office. They say it's bad for acoustics, but I say nay. I love that little dude.
I mean, it's adorable, and I try not to mess with the natural world too much. So I'll leave it alone, I promise.
Okay.
But yeah, so all of this grand plane of existence is Mechanus, and in it is the species, the race, known as the Modrons. And at the top of all of them is Primus. They all know about Primus. Like people know about gods, mm-hmm, of various variety. But this, for them, this is very, very real, because each of them is created by Primus. He is the smith, the creator, the architect, the greatest artificer that has ever been.
He's probably, I mean, it sounds to me like he's somewhat of like an idol to you, even.
Yeah.
I mean,
to an extent, I am definitely enamored with this idea of melding the organic and the mechanical and making something entirely new. But Primus is a little bit too straight-laced for me.
Yeah, he won't even let you, like, jaywalk, right? I mean...
Right!
Asshole. Can we call him an asshole, or am I gonna get smited?
I think we're a little bit too below his notice. We can call him an asshole.
Okay. Yeah. I would really hope I'm not on Primus's radar. That would scare the hell out of me.
Oh, that would be horrible. I really hope you're not too. So when he creates, he starts from the base level. You have a game called chess.
Mm-hmm. I'm very bad at it.
I'm decent at it, our version of it. And the Modrones are basically like the pawns. They...
Okay.
All right, so, sorry, let me back up. So, Modrones are the entire race, right? And then there is a caste system, kind of. It's not really like caste system. It's more like you are created to fill this role.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, as much as you could say that machines have caste systems because they fill different roles, these have caste systems in that they fulfill specific functions. So, at the very bottom is the Monodrones. Monodrones can only fulfill one task at a time. And I mean, they are super, super basic, Adam.
They I'm trying to think of an example. Do you have an example off the top of your head? I can't think of one.
Off the top of my head, you see how expressive I get with my hands when I'm talking? They can't do that.
Oh, okay.
They can only have their hands straight down by their sides and talk to you, because that is the only task that they can accomplish while they are speaking to you.
So they can't even, like, walk and chew bubblegum at the same time, that
exactly.
old adage.
Exactly. And, you know, it's kind of useful, because if you can engage them in conversation while they're trying to stab you, they have to stop stabbing you in order to have the conversation.
Pro tip.
Pro tip. It's pretty useful, that. And then it moves up through the ranks. There are the duo drones that can do two things at the same time. So they can maintain their piece of the machinery, but also talk to you at the same time. So they don't have to stop what they're doing in order to do something else.
Gotcha.
And
the triple one can probably hop on a foot and pat their head and rub their belly. That's three things, right? Is that how it works all the way up?
That is exactly how it works. But what's even better, kind of, they're kind of the ultimate guards, because they are shaped like a triangle, and each side has an arm that they can use to spear you.
Oh god, so do they carry three spears?
Sometimes.
Oh, shoot. So, yeah, they can poke you three times before you even get your 6 seconds in the spotlight.
And if you're not particularly strong, that can wipe you out fast.
Yeah. I've seen worse take out better.
I have, too. My favorite was this cleric who was pretty decently high level, you know, mid-level. Got taken out by a bunch of little bitty chewy things. Herd tactics, man.
Your
Herd
friend?
Tactics. No, not someone that's a friend of mine. I'm just familiar with her.
Okay, that makes sense. And it sounds like this just keeps going all the way up to, what's like the stopping point at the top?
The ultimate stopping point is Primus himself.
Holy cow.
Yeah. And I mean, there are about 300 plus million Monodrones.
I thought you were going to say, 300 plus million Monodrones.
Yes.
I thought you were going to say 300 plus million, like, ranks, tiers. I was like,
No. There's 14. There are only 14 ranks.
Oh, that's not that many. I didn't expect 330 million, whatever. I did expect more than 13, if I'm being honest.
So, I mean, you know that shiny math rocks that you play with?
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like that. The more size that it has, the more powerful it is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, we call them dice over here. There's
dice. Thank you. I couldn't remember the word for it.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that makes total sense. And then level 14 or level 15 is Primus. I don't know why that... I was going to say, I don't know why that makes a difference, but I guess it is... I am curious if he's on it. Or if they're on an odd number or an even number?
They're on an even number. They're number 14, the highest level of them all.
Okay, yeah. I don't know if I was expecting it to be an even or an odd number, but either way, it's interesting.
Well, I mean, with dice, you want even numbers, right?
Yeah, that's true. So, if you don't mind getting right into the Q&A, because a bunch have sprung into my head already, one of which is just, how are Modrin at period... made? How does a new one form?
So Primus doesn't like to release the schematics of how he puts one of them together, but he makes the monodrones specifically. Okay. So, and remember I said that monodrones are basically like the pawns? They can get more powerful.
How do they do that?
Well, if there's an opening in the duodrone section, suddenly someone gets promoted.
Oh, so if like a duodrone like falls into a volcano, a monodrone just like does it have to be like the closest monodrone to it, or is it just a random monodrone just gets the promotion?
It's the closest one to it, and it just immediately da 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 da.
That right there is raising my eyebrows, because then I just thought, like, how recursive is this? What if a level 13 fell into a volcano?
Well, you'd have to work pretty hard to find one of the governors. That's uh-huh. The level 14 is way up there. Those are hard to find. The septimum.
That was very... I can't believe you just knew that off the top of your head right there.
I studied these. Like I have for years.
Like, if one died, would just the next level take its place, and then chain reaction, bam, next level takes it, like, just...
Exactly like that. Now, usually,
wow,
any adventurers who come to Mechanus only encounter the monodrones, or at best, a duodrone. But if you keep working your way up and up and up, the chances are pretty high that you might actually mess with the society. Now, you can't kill the society. How do you kill something that is so perfectly mechanized and so perfectly put together? But you can mess with it. You can throw some sand in the gears.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it sounds like if anything, I don't know, maybe the thing is instantaneous, but it seems like if, like, one of the higher-ups died, I mean, I would imagine at least a couple minutes of, you know, downtime as they kind of, like, reconfigure themselves, or maybe it is just, like, poof,
instant. It is instantaneous, because they are all of them, every one of them, all millions and millions and millions of them are connected to Primus. Mm-hmm. And so they can immediately download whatever information is necessary to the one that's stepping up.
So it sounds like you don't want to make an enemy of this Primus fellow.
I mean, don't make enemies of gods in general unless you absolutely yeah. have to. But he's particularly bad because this is a hive mind. The best equivalent in your society is this Borg queen.
Mm-hmm.
But, and here's the thing. Modrons are not destructive. They are after law and order. If you are in their way, they will seek to get you out of their way by the least destructive means possible.
That's good.
And if they have to kill you, they will.
Okay, that's less good.
But it's not personal.
Yeah.
It's just keeping the machine rolling.
So if Primus somehow died, what would happen there? It seems like that would be a pretty big wrench in the machine.
Whew.
Or does somebody just take Primus's spot? That would be buck wild. All of a sudden, hey, you're a god now.
Well, there are only four of the Septium. So theoretically, one of them could level up and become Primus if something happened to Primus. It's not happened, but it's theoretically possible.
That is insane to me that it goes from 330 million of the lowest rank to just four of the second to highest.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I mean, the changeover is pretty quick, because monodromes, there's about 300 million, less or more. Primus knows the exact number, and there is always the same number. Oh. Always. But then up to duodrones, it's 55 million. And then tridones is only 6 million. Like, so the, like the rate of attrition.
Yeah, it's like a reverse exponential number. Well, I guess it would be an exponential number getting bigger if you're looking at it from that way or something. You know, I don't know how math works really too hard, especially not on Lauren Poor Knights. How old did they live? Like, if nobody were to throw one in a volcano?
Immortal. Functionally immortal.
Do they rust?
Not really, because they are as much organic. Here's the thing. Like, we think you might think of them as being, what's the term for that you use? Robots.
I was going to ask if they're really just robots.
They're not, though. They're this beautiful, weird amalgamation of organic and mechanical to make this construct that is every bit as organic as it is mechanical.
Okay, I didn't know if this would be like mean or anything. I was gonna say we got something over here in Earth called Roombas, and I thought like, man, these things look kind of similar to my Roomba, and it just vacuums up my carpet. I guess it is a mono drone in a way because it can only do one thing, and it doesn't even do it very well.
It's very similar to a mono drone in that it only has one task, but a mono drone would do it perfectly.
Okay, so not like a Roomba at all.
It would have the perfect pattern and do that pattern every single time.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, that sounds a lot better.
Doesn't it?
Yeah, I would kind of want one. Well, no, that sounds mean because these things are like self-aware and stuff. I don't think my Roomba is.
Well, they're self-aware, yes, but they always follow orders perfectly.
Okay. From anybody? Or from
No. Other Modrons.
Okay. It sounds like you tried that. Like, hey, Steve, go vacuum my carpet. And it's like, now.
Well, I didn't have anything quite so base as vacuuming my carpet, but yes, I did try to get a couple of them to do a couple things for me, and they just, I'm not a Modron. I'm a fire genasi. And they don't listen to me. As far as they are concerned, I only exist as an obstacle or a problem. Which, fair enough.
Yeah, it sounds like they wouldn't really have any kind of, like, natural enemies, right? It sounds like they're just kind of, like, doing their own thing, and as long as nobody gets in their way, it's all cool.
Well, and that's the thing about Mechanus, is that there is nothing really natural. Not as we think of it, because all of it is created, all of it is engineered, all of it, every single bit, down to the tiniest gear that works in the tiniest monodrone, is created. Primus is the ultimate creator, and he has orchestrated every bit of Mechanus in order to make it as beautifully clockwork. Everything happens down to the nanosecond.
So with all this kind of internal programming they've got, it sounds like the answer to this question is probably no, but do they have any kind of like hobbies? Do they like knit, play ping pong when they get a second away from Primus's orders?
Not really. That said though, there have been Modron who have broken away.
Oh, so they leave the hive mind. What happens to that? Do they does something fill its spot in the hierarchy, or is that spot kind of like empty now because they're still alive?
Right. Yeah. So as far as Primus is concerned, that spot is dead. So it creates another one in order to fill that spot because they're not right anymore. They're not perfectly created anymore. They have a gear loose, basically.
Yeah, so those, if one goes rogue, they probably get down on some hobbies. Maybe like, I don't know, maybe they like are really good at video games or something. I don't know.
They're terrifying at StarCraft.
Oh, I wouldn't. I mean, they're bots. They're literal
bots.
Exactly.
They're literal bots, but you can't ban them because they're as much organic as they are mechanical.
Yeah, I mean, then that's an ethical issue right there. Mm-hmm. You can't ban someone just for being too good at StarCraft. When all the pictures I've seen of these things, you mentioned they're like half flesh, half robotics. Why do they got big squishy looking eyeballs? Like, what's that purpose? Like, couldn't they have had, like, a camera lens or something? Seems like a big glowing weak spot, like in a Resident Evil.
So, none of the Modrons are very powerful as far as fighting them goes. their strength is not in their physical strength. Their strength is in the hive mind. Have you ever been swarmed by a bunch of ants?
Yeah, yeah. It's fighting one ant. It's fighting a million ants.
Exactly. And these ones can call for help from higher up. So the duo drones, the mono drones can call the duo drones, and the duo drones can call the tri drones. And it goes up the ladder depending on how bad of a threat you are.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to get above mono drones, I don't think.
Honestly, you don't even want to engage mono drones, because if they are focused on the task of stabbing you to death, nothing will stop them.
Yeah, they're perfect at it.
Exactly.
So if for some reason somebody crossed a any kind of Modron at all, we always want to end this episode with the number one best piece of advice you could give somebody either in the real world or playing a game called Dungeons and Dragons. Like if you had time to just give them one tip about monodrones or Modron, pardon me, at all, what would it be?
They're effectively immortal. They are resistant to cold and acid and a few other things. You can't put them to sleep because why would machines sleep? My best advice, set the whole place on fire and run.
Don't do that. Don't listen. Don't listen to Flair, anybody. Don't set anywhere on fire. Well, Flair, it has been so much fun interviewing you. Thank you for not burning down the studio. If you wouldn't mind, just where can people find you at when you're not threatening to burn down places?
So when I'm not playing Flair, my name is Tiana Hansen, and I'm most commonly found over at Quests and Chaos. That's twitch.tv/Quests and Chaos, where we play Dungeons and Dragons and Call of Cthulhu and various different board games. I am also an actor and the editor and producer on The Redacted Reports, which is a Delta Green podcast where I play a much more buttoned up FBI agent called Agent Rowan. And we are finishing up as of today, we are finishing up a mini arc between seasons and getting ready to launch into season 3, which I am very excited about and very nervous about. It should be excellent. And I'm also found occasionally on the Majestic Goose Network as Misty Charlotte Palladino on
Fire.
I like Fire. I really do like Fire. My very first cleric was a light domain cleric specifically because I wanted Fireball.
Gotcha. Yeah, that's a fun one.
Yeah.
It's a dangerous one.
It is. But yes, I play Misty Charlotte Palladino on Roll for Weird. Yeah, I'm kind of all over the place. I do voice acting. I'm working and writing a book. Just all sorts of fun things going on with me.
And if you want to help support this network, one thing you could do, especially in the month of October, is go and subscribe to our two new annual October podcast, Who Be or Not Who Be, which actually also includes Tiana. It's our annual Who Be Halloween podcast watch commentary track and also kind of critique episode. And then we also have Storytime with Silas, which will be popping up every Thursday this month. It is a horror anthology show with an amazing cast of voice actors.
Including me.
Again, and not to toot my own horn, but very well edited. Go check it out. Patrons have the first episode now. And remember, at least half of what you've heard tonight is probably true. Or all. Or none. Probably half. Bye, everybody.
Ah, so nice of you to stop by. Come in, come in. I'm Silas Lancaster, and this is my library. Within these tomes, you will find tales of monsters, both figurative and literal. Tales to make the strongest of us blanch in fear. Such stories are dangerous, and consumption must be strictly rationed. As such, I shall share but one story from my library each Thursday in October each year. Be sure to tune your wireless receiver to Storytime with Silas. Alternatively, subscribe on those podcast providers the youth seem so fond of.